Hey family, thanks for joining us as we get into God's Word. We are going to be in 1 John chapter 2 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 14. The title of this message is The Truth About Love. The Truth About Love. Let's read verse 7 through 14, 1 John chapter 2. It says this, Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because a darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come to you as your children. We can open up our hearts to receive your truth, God, in whatever shape we're in right now, God. If we've had a tough week, if it's been a really good week, we can always come to you, God, as our Father who loves us, who knows us, who knows what's coming next week. You want to bear our burdens, God. And so for those who are feeling heavy-hearted, I pray that Lord, we just surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our cares and our anxieties. And we ask, God, that you bless our time in your word. That you would open up our eyes to see wonderful things in your law. Change us from the inside out. Give us your heart, give us your desires, and give us this love that John is going to talk about here, Lord. This love that comes from you, that we don't try to muster it up, but really, it comes from you. I pray that it would flow through us to each other and that the world would know by our love that we're your disciples. So bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The truth about love. There's much to say about love, right? We could say a lot of things. Our society is, we have this obsession with love or what we think love is. You hear people sometimes say, you know, I was in love, but I fell out of love, or I love tacos and I love my spouse. And there's a lot of mixed things that we get from those types of things, right? We pick up like, man, we can use that word love for a variety of different things, right? Like I can love tacos and I can love my wife, but those should not be the same type of love. We talk about falling out of love. We talk about falling in love, like it's based upon our feelings, like love is merely an emotion. And what the scripture talks about love, when it talks about love, it talks about it being more than a feeling. It's based in covenant. There's a commitment. There's something deeper than just how you feel. But love, true love, is based on a covenant. That's why when you see a wedding, you hear the vows, people are saying for better or for worse, for richer or poorer. Like who says things like that? Like that's covenant language. And love leads people to do crazy things. It leads people to the altar to make those vows and say, yes, I will forsake everyone else and I'll be faithful to you. True covenant love goes deeper than our feelings. Because what those vows do is those seal you in the day of trouble, right? When temptation comes your way, when rough days come, you go back to those vows and say, no, I made a commitment. I made a covenant with God and with you. And I want to be faithful to that. We're living in a time where love has been cheapened. Everybody wants it, but no one wants the implications of it. Because what it requires of us is sacrifice. It requires us to die to ourselves. It's not like I just love you if you love me. It's no, I'm going to love you even if you're difficult to love. And what John is speaking about here is really this deep, God-given love. It's called agape love. Right? The Bible speaks about love. There's different words for love in Scripture, in the Greek. And this is the most important, the deepest type of love is agape love. It's a love that comes from God. And this is really what John is going to stress here in this passage. He wants us to know that love is the evidence. It's really to reside in every true believer. That we are called to love each other as the people of God. And where that love is absent, we have reason to be concerned. If you remember in chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, John speaks in a general way about keeping the commandments of God. We've talked about this, right? All the commandments of God are for our joy. And John basically says, hey, whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And in verses 7 through 8, John is going to hone in on a specific commandment that is of ultimate importance in the Christian life. And it's important to know that he's not just going to come right out and say what the specific commandment is, at least not in this text. But as we look at the surrounding verses in 1 John and the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, we begin to discover what the commandment is that John is referring to in this passage. And what we see in 1 John and throughout the whole of Scripture is that the command to love is the ultimate commandment of our faith. The command to love is the ultimate commandment of our faith. We see this in verse 7 through 8. But how do we know that the command to love is what John is referring to here in this passage? Notice that the language John uses of love and hate in verses 9 through 11 shows up. He uses this contrast, right? Love and hate. It seems to indicate that the commandment he's referring to is the one that Jesus gave us in John 13:34, right? Jesus used similar language when describing a new commandment. Jesus says this in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And as we look at 2 John, we see in verse 5 that John spells this out for us and clarifies it even further. He confirms what it is that we see in this text, this command to love. He says this, he's speaking to the elect lady. He says, "And now I beg you, lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another." And so he spells it out clearly in his next epistle, 2 John. And so we see from the context that John wants to lay before us this call, this command to love each other. As we said before, this love is not based in shallow feelings. It's not just emotions. This is a deep covenant love. This is rooted in who God is. This love comes from God. It's not limited like our human love, but it finds its source in the riches of who God is. John would go on to say, God is love. And so if we know God, if we claim to know God, this should be the fruit that flows from our lives. John says in chapter 2, verse 7, that this isn't a new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. But then he goes on to say in verse 8 that at the same time, it is a new commandment. And so we're like, wait, this sounds like a contradiction. Like, which is it? Is it old or is it new? And I think a good way for us to ask this question is this: in what ways is the command to love old, and in what ways is it new? Because it seems that John doesn't view this as an either-or issue, but as a both-and issue. It's not that one is true and the other is false, it's that both are true in certain senses. And so, in what ways is the command to love an old commandment? First of all, John says that this commandment is old in the sense that they had it from the beginning. And we'd have to ask, well, the beginning of what? I think John is referring to the beginning of their Christian lives. He's saying, you've had this commandment and you've heard about this commandment your whole Christian lives. And so in that sense, it's an old commandment. Notice what he says at the end of verse 7. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. And then later in chapter 2, verse 24, he says, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son. And so clearly it seems that John is referring to the beginning of their Christian lives. But this commandment to love also goes back to Old Testament times. The command to love God and others was around well before the time of Jesus, and we'll see how Jesus brings a newness to the command in a bit. But why does John find it necessary to stress the oldness of the commandment to love? It seems like an interesting thing to bring up. Remember the context in which John is writing. He's addressing false teachers who were infiltrating the church, who were bringing on this new false teaching, this deeper type of knowledge, this mysterious knowledge, right? The Gnostics, they were infiltrating the church and bringing in false teachings, false doctrines. Teachings that were about the nature of Christ, the nature of sin, and the nature of assurance. They were teaching false things that did not line up with Scripture. They were seducing people with new information that was not biblical. And John wants his readers to understand that he's not bringing in some new teaching. He's not like one of these false teachers trying to bring in the next new thing. He's saying, no, this teaching that I'm bringing you, you've known it your whole Christian lives. And so it's old in that sense, but he's going to go on to say it's new in another sense. And he goes on to say that there's a newness to the commandment. He says in verse 8, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So we've seen how the commandment is old. In what sense is it old? And now I want to look at, in what sense is the commandment new? I like what Warren Wiersbe has to say about this. He says that the commandment is new in emphasis, in example, and in experience. Remember what Jesus said in John 13:34, where he spells out what the new commandment is. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The commandment is new because Jesus places a new emphasis on it in his teaching and ministry. And what we see here in 1 John is that John follows suit, and he goes from speaking generally about the commandments to focusing on this commandment specifically. The commandment is new because Jesus gives himself as the ultimate example of what it means to love others. We see this in the life of Christ, his ministry, his death, the way he interacts with people. The ultimate definition of love is not a theory, it's not a mindset, but it's a person, and his name is Jesus. We see in the person of Christ the epitome of love, the ultimate example of love. And so we're not just given an example to be, but we're given an example to follow, right? The message of Christianity is not just, hey, just be a more loving person. But it's like, no, the message is, here's the bad news. You're not a loving person, but there is a person who is all loving, who loves you, even though you fail to love him and love others. The commandment is new because it gives us a deeper, richer, fuller experience of the love of God in Christ. See, the old commandment tells us to love. The new commandment empowers us to love. We all know that we should love people, but we struggle to carry that out. The new commandment empowers us. Through the gospel, we've been empowered to love one another with the love of God. We're called to love each other, not just as we love ourselves, although that's true, but even going deeper, as Christ has loved us. And so the new commandment brings a new depth that wasn't there previously. John will go on to say, we love because he first loved us. And so as we approach the new commandment from a place of responding to the love of God, it changes everything, right? We're not trying to earn God's love. We already have God's love, and so we're free to give out God's love. We don't love others so that God will love us. We love others because Christ already does love us. We're not trying to love people to earn his favor. We want to love people because we have his favor. And this really changes everything for us as believers. We're fighting from a place of victory and not from a place of just trying to get ground. It's like, no, you've been given the victory in Jesus Christ. You've been loved dearly by God. And this will radically transform the way we treat each other. Look at what John says in verse 8. He says that this new commandment is true in him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. For those who are in Christ, this new commandment is a spiritual reality that we're experiencing at this very moment. Those of you who have experienced the love of God, you're able to extend that love toward the people of God. The fact that the light is already shining should encourage us that things are not as dark as they seem. Yes, if we're honest, the world is a very dark place. We don't deny that. But what we're saying is that the gospel of Jesus is brighter, it's greater, it's light. And the light shines brightest in the darkness. Think about this for a moment. There are people in your life who are dwelling in spiritual darkness right now, at this very moment. But these people, I believe, one day, there are people in our lives who are going to see a great light. Jesus is going to reveal himself to people. And John is saying that there's a shift that's happening, and it's happening now. He's saying the true light is already shining. It's happening. The darkness is passing. The light is coming. And so we must never lose that hope as the people of God. We must never give in to discouragement. We're surrounded by people who have seen the light of Christ. As I look at you guys, I say, wow, like there are so many stories of how the light of Christ has just like broken into your life. It's broken into my life. And Christ has taken us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the beloved Son. And the good news of this is that God is not done yet. God is not done building his church. He's doing it now, and he's going to continue to do it. And so I think we need to trust that he's moving, even when all we see is darkness. Even when you look at the world and you're like, this is so crazy. Like, people are so nuts. This whole COVID thing, like, what's going to happen in the future? What we have to know is that God is building his kingdom, that God is on his throne. He said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his mission. He's building his church, and he's looking for people who want to partner with him to see lives changed. And so the question for us is, will we heed that call? Will we be content to sit by comfortably while God is moving and God is using people? Or will we say, Lord, I want your light to shine, your gospel to shine. I want to bring your light to a lost and dying world. Give us the grace for that, God. John goes on in verses 9 through 11 and tells us that the way we love reveals the reality of our faith. The way we love reveals the reality of our faith. Look at what he says. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. It's interesting to note that there are a few tests that John gives us throughout this letter. Tests that we can use to examine the reality of our faith. Right? Earlier in this chapter was the moral test, or our obedience. Later in this chapter, he'll give us a doctrinal test, which has to do with our beliefs. But in this section, he gives us the social test, which has to do with our love. And he wants us to be able to use these tests to measure the reality of our faith. He says very plainly, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. If someone says that they are a believer in Jesus Christ and has hatred in their heart for their brother, John says they're still in darkness. This is a tough truth. This is a tough pill for us to swallow, because I think for many of us, we would have to say, you know what? There's times in my life where I have held hatred in my heart. I might not want to slay that person, but I have definitely held bitterness, grudges, and resentment in my heart. I think there'll be times where we experience this. But what we see here is that if you're a true believer, you won't live comfortably in that sin. True believers repent of their sin. They want to get right. If you're comfortable in this space of hating your brothers and sisters, of holding grudges and bitterness, that should be an alarm to you. That should be alarming to you. True believers want to repent. They want to get right. They don't want to harbor hatred and bitterness. Why? Because they've been given a new heart with new desires. Their old heart has been changed. They've been given a new one. And so we seek to fight to let those things go. We do what John told us to do in 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. We get right with God. That's what we do when we sin. It's not to say that true believers aren't going to struggle from time to time with these things. It's saying if we're guilty of these things, of holding resentment, hatred, bitterness in our hearts, we need to get right. We need to come to the cross. We need to get right with our brother or sister. If you have something against someone, or someone has something against you in the church, my encouragement for you is please don't ignore that person. I know that's the easy thing to do. I know that's what I've done, and I still continue to do. But Matthew 18 says, hey, there's a better way. Go to that person. If your brother has something against you, go to them. Talk it out. Get right. Open up your heart and allow God to bring restoration. I know many of us don't like confrontation. It's uncomfortable. We would rather just avoid people than go about it this way. But I really believe that if we're to be a healthy church, if we're to be a holy church and a loving community, we need to get biblical about getting restored and getting right with each other. There's no place for hatred, bitterness, resentment between the people of God. It's just not acceptable as children of God. We've been given a new nature. We are no longer defined by our old sins. There's a better way forward, and Christ gives us that. And he says, on the flip side, John says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. When you're loving God's people, you're seeking to be free from bitterness, resentment, hatred, you find yourself walking in the light. You aren't getting tripped up. You aren't stumbling in the dark because you're living in the light of God's love. And honestly, you guys, being a hater is no way to live. If you've ever drank the Haterade, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, man, I'm holding this hatred in my heart, this resentment, and it just starts eating away at you, right? That person that you're thinking about, they start affecting you and they're probably not even thinking about you. But they're exercising so much power in your mind. You're like, yeah, I can't believe what they did. I can't believe what they said. And you play it over and over and you think, oh, I wish I would have said that. Or, dang it, next time I should say this. And you're just feeding that beast. And God is saying, I have a better way for you. There's a better way. Love is the better way. When you're carrying that burden of hatred, when you're walking in darkness, there's this cloud over you, there's this heaviness that you carry. But Christ is wanting to lead us out of that and into the path of fullness of joy. And basically, what we're doing when we're saying, you know what, I'm not willing to let go of this hatred, this resentment, this bitterness, is we're basically stiff-arming Christ and saying, Christ, I don't want the path of joy and happiness, but I want to be miserable and defeated. And we're willfully choosing that because we're not willing to humble ourselves. Christ says, there's a better way. Understand how much I love you. If you have a hard time forgiving people, Christ says, hey, it's because you don't understand how much you've been forgiven. The one who's been forgiven much loves much. If there's a disconnect for you, if you have a hard time extending forgiveness to people, could it be that you truly don't understand how much you've been forgiven? Come to the cross, examine your heart, get right, and realize the forgiveness that you received in Jesus, that God wants to use you to be an instrument of reconciliation, to bring that forgiveness to other people. Notice that it's not just enough not to hate people, right? It's not like, okay, if you're not hating people, then you're good. No, John's saying we must actively love each other. Indifference can be a form of hatred. Indifference is not an option here. Some of you might be saying, well, I don't really hate people. I'm just not big on these church people. They're the worst. I can put up with them, but that's about it. And the scripture would call us into a better way. To actively pursue and actively love people. To consider how we can be a blessing to each other in this season. To get out of our comfort zones and to be intentional in loving each other. And so I think we need to ask the Lord, Lord, what would it look like to show love to my brothers and sisters this week? This isn't something we just put off for like a month and say, I'll get to this when I have a chance. No, how can I be a doer of God's word and show someone the love of Christ this week? This is going to be the challenge for us, is not just to hear messages and not do anything, but how do we implement the things that we learn and put them into our lives? John goes on in verse 11, he says, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is the condition of those who don't love the people of God. They walk in darkness. If you're in your house, you go to the bathroom at night, you know what this is like. You're walking in darkness usually. You don't want to turn the light on because you start waking up. If you ever stubbed your toe, you know it's painful to walk in darkness. Bad things happen when you're walking in darkness. You miss the seat. Things happen. I don't know where that one came from. Anyways, they're spiritually blinded. If you're walking in darkness, you're spiritually blinded. You don't have any sense of direction. You're refusing to obey the command to love, and you're going to find yourself wandering about in the dark. You're just lost. And the scripture makes it abundantly clear that this call to love is the ultimate commandment of our faith. If we don't walk in this command, we're nothing. The scripture's clear. Like, if we don't have love, we are nothing. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read verse 1 through 3. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Just a bunch of noise. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Paul says you can have everything else going for you, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. We must not lose sight of this as the people of God. We must continue to go forward by His grace. We must not lose heart. We must get filled with the love of God. Jude would tell us to keep ourselves in the love of God. It's easy to move out of that place, to just try to do this thing on our own, to just try to produce love in our own strength, to be like, you know what? Yeah, these people do drive me nuts and I'm just going to try to love them. That ain't going to work. You're going to be white knuckling it. You're going to be tired, exhausted. The way that we really walk in these things is by humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, I have issues. I got problems. The truth of the matter is I don't love this person. I'm having a hard time forgiving them. Listen, when we're honest with Christ, Christ loves to change our hearts. We say, Lord, my heart's not there, but please change me. Please help me. I think as we do this, we're going to find ourselves walking in the fullness of what God has for us. I pray that God would remind us of his love if we've lost sight of how much he loves us. I pray that he would fill us up with this. As we go out this week, I pray that God would bring people who we could be intentional with, that when he provides those opportunities, that we would just walk in those things, that we wouldn't hesitate, but that we go forward, we go in boldness, we go with courage, and we go with love, knowing, man, God, you love me so much. Help me not to hog your love, but to be a vessel that you could flow through to reach people in the world. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would fill us up with your love, that you would remind us of how great your love is for us, that the Holy Spirit would come upon us and remind us of how great you love us, that nothing can separate us from your love, that we would love each other, God. Forgive us for the times, and there are many, when we don't extend grace, when we don't extend love, when we punish each other in our minds, when we don't confront and don't love people enough to really say, hey, I feel like there's something between us. I pray you'd help us to have those conversations and just to be real, that we would speak the truth in love. Help us in these things, God. We need you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.